Mr. Macy sent me an email just before church. Said he thought I'd get a chuckle out of it. Preacher was preaching a sermon on temperance, and he was bringing it down to a conclusion. And said that, with emphasis, that if he had all the beer in the world, he would dump it in the river. Added some more with some more emphasis, and said, if I had all of the wine in the world, I would dump it in the river. And shaking his fist in the air, he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I would dump it in the river. His sermon concluded, he sat down, and the song leader stood up and said, let's sing Gather at the River. There's always a comedian in the crowd. I'm not going to preach on temperance tonight. I'm going to continue, by the help of the Lord, to look at the subject that I started with last Sunday night, helps to holiness. Would you bow your head with me as we ask the Lord for his divine touch in this part of the service? Lord Jesus, you've been good to us. You've blessed us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are the answer to our needs today. That we can come to you in the midst of those needs and ask for your help. We can come to you in the midst of blessing and rejoice. And Father, now as we come to this time of the service, the preaching of your word, I pray that you would give us that anointing that is so desperately needed. Pray that you would touch my lips, my mind, touch our hearts, our ears. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 is a launching pad once again for the entirety. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness. Pursue holiness. Last Sunday we were looking at the idea, the thought, living in the light. Living in the light means having a clear experience of justification. It also means that a person, as they live in the light, as they walk in the light, that they have a quick obedience. Tonight I want our focus, to be on living in carefulness. Living in the light. Tonight we're looking at living in carefulness. In other words, careful living. Taking care in our living. You could say meticulous obedience. Or you could simply say paying attention. If we take that thought of paying attention in our life, we can find a lot of scripture references that deal with that. Paying attention. Now, the King James wording would probably not be that, pay attention. But you can look in your concordance and you can follow it through in your Bible that the two words, take heed, are repeated often. Let me share with you several verses tonight that have that within its context. Exodus chapter 19, verse 12, it says, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. If you recall that story, it's when Moses was being talked to by God out of the mount, and the smoke and the thunderings. The children of Israel were warned that they had to stay back. As a matter of fact, the previous verse speaks about the boundary that was to be placed around so that nobody could come and touch. And the command was, take heed to yourselves. Pay attention to yourself. Exodus chapter 34, verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. There's the warning, paying attention, take heed. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart. What a warning. Deuteronomy 4:15, take heed therefore, or take ye therefore good heed. Chapter 4, verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Chapter 11, verse 16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, or ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Chapter 12, verse 13, take heed to yourselves, that thou offer not the burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose. Chapter 12, verse 30, take heed to yourselves that thou not be... Just a minute. Snared, that's it. Wow, it's getting bad. Take heed to yourselves that thou be not be snared by following them. Chapter 27, verse 9. Take heed and hearken. Take heed, pay attention and listen. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. Take diligent heed. Diligent heed. Number one, to do the commandment and the law. Number two, to love the Lord your God. Number three, to walk in his ways. Take heed, pay attention, careful living. Job 36, 21, take heed, regard not iniquity. Jeremiah 17, 21, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Boy, we could renew that one there. That's a good subject. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. I'm not talking about the subject of bearing a burden on the Sabbath day. I'm just talking about taking heed on the Sabbath day of what we do. I better get off of that tangent. That might get me into the brush where some bunnies are. It's still rabbit season. Let's move to the New Testament and see what the New Testament has to say with these two words. Take heed. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. That's a warning from Christ. Here's another warning from him. In chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Chapter 18, verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. My, we could spend some time on that one. Chapter 24, verse 4, take heed that no man despise you. That's actually wrong again. I'm having trouble reading tonight. Take heed that no man deceive you. Despise your youth is a verse, I believe, in Timothy. Take heed that no man deceive you. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Take heed what ye hear. Boy. Take heed what ye hear. Now, what's the context of that taking heed? This is what it says. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Take heed what ye hear. Chapter 13, verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. Chapter 11 of Luke. Verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. What a warning is found in that verse. Take heed that the light that you have doesn't come become darkness. Chapter 12 and verse 15 of Luke, take heed and beware of covetousness. Surely not. That's what he says, though. Beware of covetousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Taking heed. Be careful. 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." What a whole bunch, a diverse amount or directions of taking heed. So many different areas, so many different things, so many different issues. Some of them are called big issues, some of them are called insignificant issues. I mean, we define them that way. But apparently they're all big enough that God has placed a specific place here in His Word, in His Scripture to us, that we ought to take heed and be careful. What does it mean to take heed? I don't know how many different examples we could come up with, but if you could, picture with me a young child who's trying to walk on the railing of railroad track. Maybe you can remember those days back in that time when you first set foot on the railroad. Maybe a big brother or sister or a mom or dad was with you. If you were very little, hopefully somebody bigger was with you. But invariably, you're on the railroad track. I think it's illegal now, so I'm not saying go home and try it. But back in our day when we did that, those kinds of things, and you had to focus. Here's this little bitty rail, and you're going to walk down the rail. Somebody older than you could do it and challenged you. And the focus was there. You had to focus intensely on walking down that track. As that youngster got older, became more experienced, the intensity of the focus may have waned. Maybe within the experience and the age of that child or that person running down the track or walking down the track, they soon learned that they could now run on that rail. Well, it was a big day. Big day to be able to run down the rail of the railroad track. Maybe if you were agile enough, capable, you could even jump back and forth from one rail to the other and never touch the ties or the rocks. And perhaps in doing all of these things, you never broke an ankle. It's similar to that in our spiritual walk of being careful in our living. When we start out, we must realize that there is a real intense focus. And sometimes, though, we lose the reality of that focus because we've gained experience and we've gained age. And we think, well, I don't have to focus quite so much anymore. I'm able to run now. I don't have to just simply walk slowly with foot in front of the other with my hands out and try to balance myself on that one little rail. I can now run, and perhaps I'm even so good that I can jump back and forth from one rail to the other. I don't have to have quite as much focus. But you know, it's about the time when that person begins to think within themselves that they are capable of doing this without focus, that they miss a step and they slip off, and hopefully they don't injure themselves. How many times have you slipped off the railing? And when you hit your shin on that, it hurts. Catch your foot on the tie and trip. Fall down in the rocks, it hurts. Spiritually, in our Christian walk, in this living carefully, we must always maintain focus. That's why God puts in His Word repeatedly to take heed. Take heed to yourself. Take heed. Pay attention. Carefulness in living. Carefulness in living in what way, preacher? What are we focusing on this evening? Well, let's look at this particular thought as we are careful in our living in a faithful reading of God's Word. It's a vital aspect of our Christian experience. Faithfulness in reading God's Word. I like to hear when people talk about reading God's Word from cover to cover, book by book. That's a good way of reading God's Word, is to go from the beginning to the end. I wouldn't necessarily admonish a new Christian to begin in Genesis and read from cover to cover. But reading the entirety of God's Word is a good thing to do as we are faithfully reading His Word. Cover to cover. Book by book. Maybe you don't want to read it book by book or cover to cover in that sense. And it's good then, at times at least, to spend time in study of a specific subject, cross-referencing and going back and forth in study. You might look at God's Word as a sprint or a marathon. In a sprint, you would say, I begin in Genesis and I race to the end in Revelation. And we strive. So many times we hear people talking about striving to read the Word of God in 1 year. I would call that a sprint. And then there's times that we would have the marathon where it's a little slower and it's drawn out when you study subjects in a slow and deliberate, methodical way. Slowly studying God's Word, methodically and deliberately studying specific subjects, you're probably not going to be able to sprint through it in 1 year. I met a man a number of years ago. His name's Johnny Jones. Don't know that he's any relationship to the Joneses around here, but he's Johnny Jones from Virginia. He tells the story that when God saved him, he read the Scripture through from Genesis to Revelation in one setting. Like you, I raised my eyebrows at that. He said God gave him an unusual sense of hunger for God's Word, and he sat down just very soon after God saved him, and he read the Bible through in 3 days, reading nearly nonstop for 3 days. I haven't tried it. I don't know if it's possible. Didn't sleep, didn't eat. He got up when he had to use the restroom and to hydrate himself from time to time, I think keeping some water or something close by him as he was reading, but he focused in nonstop, basically, and read the Bible through. Continuity. See, you read something straight through, you get the continuity of what all is there. I'm not saying that you need to go do it or try it, but a faithful reading of God's Word, whether it's in that cover-to-cover way of reading it or in study, both of them are vital aspects of reading the Word of God, helping us to have a carefulness in living, paying attention in our lives. The second thing that I want us to notice about a carefulness in living, not only faithful in reading God's Word, but a vital prayer life. Now, the word vital must be there. It's vital that vital's there. Vital really means lively or living, which when we place it into this context of the prayer life, that we would expect a prayer life to be alive, lively, having life to it. Having life to it, there may be some emotion involved. If your praying is dead, find something to give it new life. Take the hymn book and look at some of the old hymns and read some of the old writings of the songs. And spend time in prayer, focusing in worship as you look at those words of the old hymns. Praying with a keen desire for an answer to specific needs. Praying in faith, believing. Praying with an expected end. A vital prayer. You see, there's so many things that can disrupt prayer. So many things that can discourage prayer. Mentioned this morning that praying is a battle. Possibly it's more so now than ever before. I believe it was John Knight, missionary to the Middle East, or the Far East. He would come to the United States and talk in missionary services about the satanic oppression that is in this country. And you and I are like, what? You're over there in the Far East and you think that we have a spiritual oppression here? You see, we have grown accustomed to the dark. But in growing accustomed to the dark, we may fail to realize that in praying, we are facing a battle, a conflict is raging. Maybe you don't see it quite that way, that maybe prayer for you is still what it's always been. But you know, we lose sleep for a ball game. We may even give up eating, you know, when there's volleyball going on and it's too hot. And you know, who wants to eat when it's hot and you're playing ball? I know, some of us don't understand that. We want to eat no matter what's going on. But there's some that are willing, if it's too hot, they'd rather play ball than eat. Some of you can go ahead and say amen there. Give me that affirmation. I know I'm right. There wouldn't be as much food left over at Albright's fall party if people would eat. But they're more interested in playing. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that you're going down for that. It's just, we are willing to give up things for certain things. But when it comes to prayer, it's a little more difficult to give up sleep for prayer. It's a little more difficult to give up food for prayer. We can miss church for a number of different incidentals. We can do a lot of things, give up all kinds of necessities for the things that we want to do, but it is, if not impossible, it's nearly so, to give up all of those things, sleep or food or family functions, in order to pray. As a matter of fact, it's probably the other way around. It's easier to give up prayer for sleep, food, and family functions. A vital prayer life is helping us in our pursuit for holiness. As God's word infiltrates the life by reading, by studying, it renews the mind. And as prayer becomes vital and alive, the heart is drawn closer to the Master. Two things of careful living. Let's look at the third. And this is a sensitive one because some people have had a more sensitive issue with this, and that is a consciousness about little things. And I have to be careful here because I know people who are so conscientious, overly conscientious. And it's frightening to see some people who are so conscientious about things that they take just the simple mistakes of memory or the mistakes of needing an eraser on a pencil and begin to dwell on those things, and it drives them in the midst of their spiritual life to defeat. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about those fallible things based that come simply from us being human. But I'm talking about the spiritual things, taking heed to these issues in life, even though they may be considered the little foxes. It's the little spiritual errors, not the ones that you make on your paper in a test or make in the midst of a judgment error by accident or because of the lack of understanding or a number of things. And I don't have the time or the ability tonight to go down through every one of them. I'm not talking about the things that are in common area of our human life. I'm talking about spiritual things. A consciousness about the little things. It's so difficult, but it's so needed. Maybe we could take the words of the songwriter and apply them to our conscience. I want a principle within of jealous, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. That's what I'm referring to. Carefulness in this area of living right, righteous. The fourth thing that I want us to notice this evening helps to holiness. Walking carefully or living carefully is that of a self-denial for Jesus' sake. Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Amplified gives us a little bit of a different understanding or a more clear understanding of that denying oneself. And it says it this way, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests. We could probably spend a lot of time trying to define what that all means. Denying oneself, does it mean that I give up every single interest that I have in life? I don't have all the answers for those interests. But I do know that this world is consumed by the entertainment industry. And it's infiltrating our ranks. We need to be entertained. If it's not entertaining, then I don't want to do it. If it's not entertaining, then I don't want to be a part of it. If there's not a constant occupying of the mind in an area of particular interest, then we don't want any part of it. It's hard in this entertaining world that we live to be able to simply quietly go before God in a solitude way or a solitary way and quietly wait on God. Denying of ourselves to be able to hear Him. To be able to learn of Him. To seek after Him. But we have to be entertained. And so often we find that our entertainment is brought right into the church. We want to be entertained. No, I'm not saying that we're pushing for entertainment here. I'm not saying that we're asking for entertainment here. But with all the entertainment that's around us, it's easy for us to say, whew, it was dry today. Why was it dry? No, we're probably not going to be too willing to say, well, because we didn't have too much to keep our attention. Had a little tension deficit disorder going on today. You see, it takes focus to walk the rail. Sometimes it takes focus, quite often it takes focus for us to walk the spiritual rail. Whether it's in reading, in praying, it takes focus to walk the rail. Takes focus for us in our area of being conscientious of God's word, of our self-denial. We're just simply talking about helps to holiness. living in the light, living with carefulness. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself, it says over and over again. Now, for some people, taking heed to yourself also includes those that are in your spiritual concern. In other words, moms and dads, taking heed to yourself includes your family, your children. Sunday school, it may be the teacher taking heed to themselves. That may include, at least in measure, a fairly large measure, their Sunday school class. That's why I'm up here tonight talking like I am, because you fall into that category for me to take heed to your spiritual well-being. Take heed to ourselves. Be careful in our living. Let's stand together tonight. Helps to holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man should see the Lord. Careful living. I'll live for him who died for me. Should be our motto. Trust the Lord give you a good week this week, and his blessings be upon you. Let's pray one for the other. Not knowing what other people's concerns are, but let's remember them in prayer. Amen. James, would you dismiss us tonight?